Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Like everybody, I'm sure that's going to stand before you today and tomorrow. Just really excited to begin the season. Most importantly, begin camp, and then that'll spill into the season. Excited about our football team on top of this, and done this for a few years now, as Todd alluded to, but it seems like every year at this time, there's always an eagerness and anticipation, and that really doesn't ever change just to get started.
Breaking news. A football coach is excited about his football team. That football coach being Kirk Ferentz, of course, head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes. Big Ten Media Days is underway in Indianapolis. First half of the conference today, second half tomorrow, and it means one thing. Well, football is almost here. How you doing, Spencer, on sports with you here for a Wednesday, July 26th of 2023. 319-366-1600. Talker text line is wide open for you here today. We'll hear a little bit more from Kirk Ferentz. His talk lasting about 15 minutes. That's the allotted window. And we'll hear some of the highlights from his comments today at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Go through some of the other key talking points today, obviously, with stuff. Again, I don't want to make light of the situation, but I'm just going to call it stuff. It's my show. I can call it whatever I want to call it. The things going on at Northwestern, their interim head coach, David Braun, was a much-anticipated speaker today. If you were expecting him to take a deep dive on the allegations of hazing and abuse at Northwestern, well, he did not do that, but he did speak on behalf of Northwestern. The news came out yesterday. The players that were selected to go represent the school at Big Ten Media Days, they opted out of going, so it was just David Braun speaking on behalf of Northwestern football today. We'll talk a little bit about what he had to say and get into what's going on at Big Ten Media Days. Big chunk of the show today involving that today. Some scheduling news for Iowa football, at least reported scheduling news. In terms of NBC, their Big Ten schedule, Brett McMurphy from the Action Network releasing their schedule starting September 23rd and lasting through November, we potentially know three kickoff times for Iowa football, including... interesting time to play a homecoming game. We'll just leave it at that. If you've seen Brett McMurphy's reporting, you know what I'm talking about. But if you missed it, we'll talk about that. Also, interesting reporting from Front Office Sports. The next Big Ten coach to be in some hot water. Water that the boat might be being rowed in. Isaac, our producer, is rowing the boat across the glass. There's no water over there, I hope. The roof isn't leaking. We're good. It's not raining out, so it shouldn't be. But... P.J. Fleck, allegations coming out about P.J. Fleck and the culture at Minnesota. Oh, boy, this is it's I'll say this. I don't think it's as serious as Northwestern, but it is rather, I guess the word I'll use is strange. Some of the things that are being alleged against P.J. Fleck, the six-year head coach at the University of Minnesota. We'll give you the gist of what Front Office Sports is reporting in just a little bit. Also want to get to the NFL today, wrapping up our series, looking at the big questions facing each NFC North team. If you missed the other three teams we've done, Minnesota, Detroit, and Green Bay, you can check out the podcast at kgymradio.com. Today we wrap up. Some of you might say we're saving the best for last. I'm not saying that. You might be. The Bears, the Chicago Bears, could do improve on their 3-14 mark from a year ago. We talked yesterday about the projected win totals from the USA Today, saying they, along with Green Bay and Minnesota, were going to finish 7-10 this year. I think their predictions are a little bit off, but I'm sure Bear fans would gladly take seven wins after what turned out to be not so great season in the Windy City last year. We'll get to the Bears and hear a little bit from some analysts about their thoughts on Chicago for 2023. Also, we'll keep you up to date on the Major League Baseball scoreboard. Got plenty of daytime action going on today. If we get some time, we'll take a look at the trade rumors. Chicago White Sox pitcher in the latest group of rumors that came out today. We'll break that down for you before 3 o'clock. 319-366-1600. Talker text line wide open for you here today. Isaac, you done rowing the boat over there?
Yeah.
You good? Okay. No water?
No.
You didn't spill any water on the equipment back there?
No, it's all
good. Don't have to get engineering
actually.
Involved? Okay, good.
Yeah, that is a... We talked about it just briefly before your show. It's weird. The culture there seems... That Minnesota, the story that you're talking about with DJ Fleck is... some of the things are there. Some of those things that they have in there, I think, are a little bit normal, like coach things.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other things that I'm like, that's like just bizarre, like really strange, like stroking his own ego sort of thing that a normal coach would not do. I don't think it's, at least I don't think it's like a common practice thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Some people might say they've suspected it all along. Some people might be a little surprised by it, but the word that front office sports, and I'll just tease you with this, we'll dive into Iowa here in just a moment, but front office sports saying, unprompted, the term cult was used by multiple former players and former staff to describe PJ Fleck's culture at Minnesota. So take with that or use that information how you will. And we'll discuss coming up in just a little bit. Soccer tonight, right? U.S.?
Yeah, U.S. versus Netherlands. Okay. My two countries going up against each other.
You're not wearing orange.
Not wearing orange.
I know you
mentioned
Scott and Mark yesterday. You weren't going to do that. So
no, yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah, that should be good. I'm excited to see. It should be a pretty entertaining, a lot more entertaining than USA-Vietnam. At least it should be. Tougher opponent. Hopefully the U.S. gets the better of them. Will be interesting to see what sort of changes, if any changes. I would like to see some changes, but I'm not the coach. I don't get to make those decisions. There's a lot of things that I would change just in general based on how they play, just based on my own preferences for playing style and stuff like that. But again, I'm not a soccer coach, so I don't get to make those decisions in general. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what sort of changes they have there to counteract a more aggressive team than Vietnam. Hopefully a win. And Canada beat... Ireland,
did
I
they?
Believe. Yeah, oh. I know the Ireland scored in like the first 4 minutes of the game. And then I think there was an own goal close to halftime. And then Canada scored again in the second half. So, and Canada needed to win that because drawing in their first game was not good. Not good for them.
Yeah, so. No, not really. All right. Well, we'll keep you nearby if we need you for any breaking soccer news that may come across or for some football talk here in just a little bit. But moving from, as I've said before, football to football, we are talking about Big Ten football media days going on in Indianapolis on the TV right now here in the studio. Dave Revson from BTN talking to Derek Gregg, the athletic director at Northwestern. And we'll get to what David Braun, the interim Northwestern head coach, had to say in just a little bit. But obviously all eyes here in Eastern Iowa on Kirk Ferentz and his allotted time with the media. A lot of stuff that I think we have already covered here in Eastern Iowa. If you're a true blue Hawkeye fan, you know the offense has some optimism. The defense is going to be good. They're expecting it to be good at least, right? I don't think we need to cover those bases anymore, but certainly always interesting to hear the state of the program from each head coach as they talk at the podium at Big Ten Media Days. Kirk Ferentz talking about starting up preseason camp, and we heard a little bit from him before about feeling excited about the new season, excited about the team. We hear that from every coach at the podium, but there's always optimism, right, to start every year. And we heard that a little bit more from Kirk as he talked about starting up camp and what that means for kind of getting the season going here for 2023.
We'll begin practice next week. Certainly we'll learn a lot more about our football team at that time. Going back to January, our first team meeting mid-January when the guys got back. Really, it boils down, it's the same way each and every year. It's a new start. It's a new team, regardless of how many guys you have back or not. And it's all about building the team. And certainly, whether it's a winter program, spring ball, the summer months, all those segments, all those phases have real value and importance. And really happy that our guys have, I think, put a lot of quality work in, happy with their focus, their energy. And I think we've given ourselves a chance to got a good foundation going. Hopefully we can do a good job in camp now and continue to build our football team. And
Hawkeyes yesterday, as we talked about in the Cleveland.com preseason media poll, picked second in the Big Ten West, just a point behind Wisconsin. Badgers getting 233 points, Iowa with 232. Badgers overall getting 20 first place votes. And Iowa's, you know, I think feeling pretty good. I think, as you heard Kirk say there, I think the fans in general are optimistic about the season here forthcoming. Hoping to improve on the record from last year, improve on the offensive side of the ball, and continue the strong defensive play that we've seen from the Iowa football team. On the offense in particular, Kirk Ferentz had this to say about the offense. A couple interesting pieces here. I'll let you listen to the clip, and then we'll pull them out and dissect them here, as if we're doing a science project, I guess, live on the radio. But this is what Kirk had to say, just kind of in general about the Iowa offense for 2023.
Offensively, very veteran at the running back position, tight end position. I think we have two good veteran receivers, very different, but for veteran guys that a return. Nico Reganey is practically a senior citizen. I guess it's his seventh year with us, eighth year, good receiver. And then we've got Deontay Vines, who's probably our most established guy outside of Nico, who's been with us but hasn't been on the field a lot due to injury. And just excited to see him perform healthy this past spring and eager to see him on the field. And then probably the two biggest differences, certainly we've got a new quarterback coming in and Cade McNamara. And I think probably the most significant change on our team will be the maturity of our offensive line. And, you know, looking forward to watching those guys compete.
Two things there. You heard Kirk talk about wide receivers, Nico Reganey or Ragaini, listed as wide receiver number one, the senior in eligibility. Kirk Ferentz making the quip about him being a senior citizen drew some laughs here in the studio. And I'm sure if you watch that live on Big Ten Network, you maybe chuckle a little bit as well. But the pre-fall camp depth chart for us to all overanalyze was released today by the Iowa football program, and I think we're all taking this with the biggest grain of salt possible, but Ragaini and Deontay Vines both listed as starting wide receivers, with Reese Osgood, Jacob Bostic, and Alec Wick in the depth chart as well as of today. And then you heard Kirk mention a new quarterback coming in, that of course Cade McNamara, listed as QB1 with Joe Labus and Deacon Hill behind him, Caleb Johnson, LaShawn Williams, and Jazwyn Patterson, the three running backs on the list for the Iowa football program entering fall camp. Again, we'll see plenty more of these, and not, you know, set in stone for week one against Utah State just yet, but certainly giving the baseline, right, of where this Iowa football team expects things to start out as. We'll see who makes a move up, who makes a move down here in camp. That was part number one. And part number two, this is something we've talked about, and for all the struggles that the offense had, you know, with the quarterback position and receivers not being able to get open, and injuries at certain levels of their depth chart. The one key thing, and you heard Kirk Ferentz say it there, one key thing he thinks people are going to notice is the maturity of the offensive line. And again, we've said it, and you've said it on the text line at 319-366-1600 since week one of last year all the way to this point, 2:18 p.m. on Wednesday, July 26th of 2023. The offensive line needs to improve. They need to work together as a unit, improve as a unit, get more experience under their belts, you know, get better at the fundamentals. I know that's a big part of what Iowa football does, and at least based on, and it's one small part of a response to a question at Big Ten Media Days. Still got to see him play on the field, but it sure sounds like, at least to me, Isaac, that Kirk and coaching staff is expecting better things and more maturity from the offensive line. And if that's the case, I think this offense will definitely be improved, because that, along with quarterback, along with receiver, along with the other positions that we've talked about, that I think was one of the big questions coming into this year.
Yeah, it's always, I know you said it's like one little part of the offense, but I think it is the most important part for a Kirk Ferentz offense or an Iowa offense. That is, the offensive line has to be dominant. They have to be able to move bodies and push people around up front. Otherwise, the offense just doesn't work. We've seen Brian Ferentz have success as a coordinator with a good offensive line. So I know. I think everyone, as you said, everyone recognized that last year the offensive line, you know, was had to be makeshift at times, mm-hmm. was also inexperienced, and just wasn't good last season. And so the offensive line being better or much improved from last season will be the most important part for that team success. Obviously, Cade is a huge addition, and mm-hmm. you know, the weapons that they've added, great. But offensive line, I think, is really where it's going to come down to if the Iowa offense will be able to lead them to a Big Ten West title and you know, a trip to Indianapolis.
Looking at the offensive line, again, the very, very preliminary depth chart for Iowa football that was put out today by the football program, going from left to right, Mason Richmond listed as a starter at left tackle, Nick DeYoung at left guard, Logan Jones, as expected, at center, Bo Stevens, sophomore out of Missouri, at right guard, and then Jennings Dunker, Mr. Hay Bale Toss. Oh boy, did I just wade into the waters of the debate of bale of hay bale? Somebody's going to get mad at me here. Yay, Jennings Dunker listed as your starting right tackle. Again, as of today, before practice has even started for fall camp, interesting to see Rusty Feth and Dejon Parker, two transfer offensive linemen, listed currently as backups for right guard and right tackle. You mentioned receiver, two names we don't see that I think we're going to see for week one, Caleb Brown and Seth Anderson, two transfer players. Brown obviously coming in from Ohio State. We heard from him at the last player media availability. Not on the depth chart as of today. I think he's going to be on the depth chart, I would imagine. So if he has a good fall camp. And then I saw a lot of people pointing this out on Twitter. In fact, I have the tweet or the X or whatever it's called now open on the screen here. But Hayden Large, great name, by the way. Hayden Large, the transfer in from Dort University. 6'5", 250 at fullback. Oh, buddy. That is that's a big boy right there. But Hayden Large listed as the sole fullback. So assuming, you know, he sticks onto that position and shows what he's worth, that it's going to be something to watch here come in the fall. But that's on the offense for Iowa football. Defense, again, when it comes to the two position groups, I think there's fewer questions with defense and special teams than there are with the offense, of course. With the defense, obviously, replacing guys like Lucas Van Ness, Jack Campbell on your roster, certainly going to be something, you know, to watch here. Riley Moss, too, obviously. That's certainly the big question facing the defense. But you return Drew Stevens at kicker, Torrey Taylor at punter. In fact, I will play you a response to a question from Scott Docterman from The Athletic here in just a moment about Torrey Taylor. But when it comes down to it, I think the defense certainly has the makings of being another strong unit, one of the best in the conference, if not the country. And it all comes down to going out on the field and executing for sure. I mentioned that question. This is from Scott Docterman. If you watched it live on the Big Ten Network, he asked Kirk specifically, and this gives Kirk the opportunity, if you follow Iowa football, to essentially remember a guy. Not necessarily a guy to be remembered because he's a legend in Hawkeye circles, but you'll hear the remembrance here as he responds to this question about why having Torrey Taylor, a guy like that, on your roster is so beneficial for the Iowa football team.
You know, I really kind of learned the importance of a great punter in 1981, my first year ever at Iowa. And we were fortunate to have Reggie Roby, I believe, as a junior that year. As amazing punter as I've ever seen. So his leg was a big part of the reason we were Big Ten champions that year and played in the Rose Bowl. And then certainly playing and coaching in pro football really developed an appreciation for how punters can affect and impact the game. And, you know, we're built, you know, we're kind of a defensive-oriented outfit, if you will, and the value of having a great kicking game along with a good, you know, solid defense gives you an opportunity maybe to have a little bit more success that way. So when we have a player of Torrey's capabilities and talents, you know, we're certainly going to try to utilize that in a smart way.
Essentially what he's saying is what we all say, right? Punting is winning. Okay, it's not the only thing, but that's essentially what he's getting at. You can believe it, even if it's not entirely what he's saying. Go ahead. It's okay. 319-366-1600. Kirk Ferentz playing back some of the highlights for Big Ten Media Days, or from Big Ten Media Days today in Indianapolis. James Franklin on the screen right now on BTN. he spoke right before Kirk Ferentz. So we'll get a little highlights from the rest of what happened first part of Media Days coming up in just a little bit. But wanted to play another clip, too. One of the more Big Ten Media Days. Media Days in general, it's tough sometimes to find anything newsy, especially for, you know, we here in Eastern Iowa know the headlines surrounding Iowa football, but it's, I heard Todd Brommelkamp talking about this yesterday. This is the first chance that people from around the country have to get a shot at talking to Kirk Ferentz and talking about Iowa football and talking to the players. But important question, this is actually asked by John Stepien of the Cedar Rapids Gazette about the cloud hanging over not only Iowa but Iowa State, the gambling investigation, and how many players does that impact specifically for Iowa football. Kirk dropping maybe a little knowledge today and kind of opining about where the NCAA could maybe change their ways when it comes to punishing students who maybe violate a rule like being a college athlete and betting on sports. Here's what Kirk had to say in response to the question about the gambling investigation.
Yeah, first of all, it's not a large number of players, period. And, you know, long story short, we really don't know what the outcome is going to be. I don't think anybody condones gambling, especially on the college game. I do think, that being said, though, I've learned a lot in the past 2 months just about gambling. I really never paid attention to it other than, you know, we signed a form and probably the same form we signed when I was playing. And I think our world's changed dramatically. Anybody that does pay attention to gambling knows that better than I, certainly the last couple of years. We live in a real different world right now. I think what the NFL has done with their rules makes a lot of sense, and I'm hopeful this is an opportunity for the NCAA maybe to reconsider two things, what the quote-unquote punishments or penalties might be that are, you know, I would say fair and relevant to the world we're living in right now. And then probably the bigger thing is there's an opportunity right now, I think, for a lot better education process, if you will.
Kirk Ferentz weighing in there, two pieces really you could take away from that. A, the first part of it, saying it doesn't sound like, at least in his mind, it's a big number of players, at least from the Iowa football program, that are part of this investigation, which I guess, you know, if I want to be Mr. Eternal Optimist here, glass half full, that is probably a good thing. Again, we don't know, as Kirk alluded to, we don't know the full outcome of this. And you'd certainly hope with a little over a month away from, you know, week one of the college football season, we certainly would know the outcome of this. At least you'd hope so. Again, the NCAA, oh, there are such quick workers over there in Indianapolis, or the NCAA, right? No, they're not. So do we expect anything to come down? You'd hope so, but this is the NCAA we're talking about with this. And, you know, for the good of the student-athletes, for the good of the teams, I think, and not just for football, it's our understanding, obviously, and not a lot has come out, that there are other teams in both Iowa and Iowa State involved in this, so you'd certainly like those programs to have a little bit of knowledge or closure. That's certainly a takeaway from that. And the other part of it is how you improve. And I think we can all agree with what Kirk is saying, at least from a general perspective. Modernize the rules, modernize the punishments, the accountability, I guess is a way you could put it, and modernize the education process. Now, I'm not fully up on, you know, what the education process is like. I'm assuming there is one. You are told about this as you're signing on to be an NCAA athlete or coach. But if a coach is weighing in on it and saying it's not good enough, don't you think we need to take him at his word and say, yeah, maybe we need to have more education about it? It's just my takeaways from that. Love to hear your thoughts about what Kirk had to say or anything you saw from Big Ten Football Media Days today, 319-366-1600, if you want to chime in here on this Wednesday afternoon. A little bit more from Big Ten Football Media Days to get to a couple other Big Ten news and notes to talk about here on a Wednesday afternoon. We'll get to those coming up in just a little bit. Talk about some NFL as well. Wrap up our NFC North whip around, if you will, with we'll chat about the Monsters of the Midway, the Chicago Bears, coming up before 3 o'clock as well. Spencer on Sports with you here on 1600 KGYM. Back after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
Showers and thunderstorms will continue to clear out throughout the rest of our day today, leaving more sunshine to fill back in behind it. This will allow for temperatures to heat up quickly back into those mid-90s throughout this afternoon. Heat and seas today and tomorrow will be into those triple digits, so we do have a heat advisory going into effect this afternoon through about 9 p.m. tomorrow. Not much for relief throughout the overnight hours as lows tonight drop down into the low 70s and still staying quite muggy. Some relief might be here as we head towards Friday night and Saturday as some potentially strong storms develop along the pushing cold front here Friday night and Saturday. I'm meteorologist Garrett Hyde. That's a check of your latest Iowa's News Now with the first forecast.
It's almost weird how much you have in common and how hard you make each other laugh. After a lifetime of peopling, this one came along and that's it. Game over. Now you just have to find the ring and figure out how to ask. The Dickens family can help. Hertin and Stocker Jewelers has been helping proposers choose engagement rings for 70 years. There isn't a thing about diamonds, settings, styles, or metals they can't tell you. And if you think after thousands of happy couples they're so over it, you would be so wrong. At Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, your engagement is as exciting to them as it is to you. Well, okay, almost. It's a great day at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers when they know they've helped someone find the perfect sparkler. And with 7 decades of experience, they've got a heck of a track record with getting a yes. So, if proposing is on your mind, see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and talk to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient ClimateMaster geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Stock up with great deals at Menards on cleaning supplies. Save big on Simple Green All-Purpose Cleaner. A 32-ounce spray bottle with gallon jug for up to 44 refills is just $7.99 after 11% off. Assorted sizes and counts of drawstring trash bags are only $2.48 each after rebate. A 100-count pack of vinyl gloves is just $6.99 after rebate. Good through July 30th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Get ready for Oktoberfest in Uptown Marion September 16th. Sample tasty suds from 30 Iowa breweries. Enjoy live music and games. Your general admission ticket includes access to breweries and a commemorative tasting glass. There's also a VIP option that gets you in an hour early with exclusive samples and swag. Raise your glass at Oktoberfest September 16th along 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion. Presented by Sheets Forest Draper Insurance and the Marion Chamber of Commerce. Get your tickets now at eventbrite.com. Must be 21 or older.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back at 2:32 with Spencer at Sports for a Wednesday, July 26th of 2023 at 319-366-1600. Gym class coming up. It is Caddy Smack. Golf clubs are mandatory. Even if you are not a golfer, to listen to the gym class today, you have to have golf clubs on you. I've been told this is the case. Isaac shaking his head no. I'm kidding you. You don't. You can listen. Anybody can listen. You can listen to any show you want. You don't have to have golf clubs on you. It does enhance your experience, though. We'll say that. 319-366-1600. Todd Brommelkamp in between 4 and 6 today. Poll question for you, KGYMRadio.com, has to do with what we asked our soccer expert Isaac on at the top of the show. How will the U.S. Women's National Team fare against New Zealand tonight? They're going to win, they're going to lose, they're going to draw. You can vote at kgymradio.com. 319-366-1600. A couple of headlines from Big Ten Media Day. Obviously, all eyes were on Northwestern. As I talked about at the top of the show, David Braun, their new head coach, their interim head coach, speaking today. You could tell, I don't mean to be snarky about it. I kind of do, actually. I'm a snarky kind of guy sometimes, but you could tell if you watched his press conference, his allotted time. They get like X amount of time to give their opening statement. Then they have to, you know, take questions if there are any. You could tell he was stretching that opening statement out to like try to cut down on the number of questions that were asked of him. I don't blame him in the slightest. I do not envy him being in that situation, obviously. And if you listen to what he had to say today, it's always been a goal of his to be a head coach. He has ties to Northern Illinois, and I learned today Southeastern Wisconsin as well. Grew up near Milwaukee, went to college at Winona State. So any Winona State alums, you've got a guy in the D1 ranks now at Northwestern with David Braun, the interim coach. But he talked a little bit as much as he could about the situation that he's in, being kind of forced in, just hired, right, as the defensive coordinator, was expecting to be working under Pat Fitzgerald, looking to turn around a Northwestern team that went 1-11 last year. Now gets thrown into the fire as the interim head coach here for 2023. And he, you know, came right out and said it. And, you know, you admire the confidence, right? Not a lot is expected of Northwestern. You wouldn't blame, you know, Northwestern for, I'm not saying like canceling the season, but like, you know, maybe not at the level of where they were hoped to be just because of all that's gone on. But based on what he said today, they certainly are expecting to compete, as you would expect the coach of the team to say. He said, quote, "This football team will be ready to go." He says, "I look forward to coming together as a team, a staff, an athletic administration, a university, alumni base, fan base, and so on to fully support these student athletes as they go make us all proud moving forward." He also said their number one priority going forward is going to be ensuring that the student athlete experience for the young men that we coach and mentor is just that, the ultimate student athlete experience. So again, selling the fact that, hey, there might have been some allegations of many, many, many years of wrongdoing in our past, but he is committed to moving things forward, at least in the short term, at Northwestern. Didn't really take many questions, did David Braun today. I'm sure there's certain things he can't speak to. He was, again, just recently hired here at Northwestern. You know, I think you got to give him props. Again, like I said, don't envy him being in that situation, being kind of the guy just thrown into the fire here to lead this program. But if you're a coach, you're given an opportunity, I think certainly are going to try to make the best of what is probably going to be a challenging situation. Again, if you missed it yesterday, the Wildcats, not a surprise, picked a distant seventh in the preseason media poll from Cleveland.com. Purdue got 89 points, finishing sixth. Northwestern finishing seventh in the final voting from Cleveland.com. Got just 38 points, so not a lot expected of Northwestern here for 2023. A couple of Big Ten news and notes here, kind of along with Media Days today. The Big Ten doesn't do like first team, second team, third team, but they do put out their preseason honors list. They do X amount of players, five from the East, five from the West here, and those players were announced today. Starting with the West, no surprise, Cooper DeJean from Iowa, the defensive back, named one of the preseason honorees for the Big Ten, along with Jerzon Newton, the defensive lineman from Illinois, Brevin Span Ford from Minnesota, Tyler Newbin, defensive back from Minnesota as well. So the Gophers getting two players placed on the West Division list, and Braylon Allen, who is still part of that Wisconsin team, despite all the changes there. Braylon Allen, the running back from Wisconsin, rounding out the West team. In the East, two quarterbacks, Talia Tagovailoa and J.J. McCarthy, both on the preseason honors list for the Big Ten in the East Division. McCarthy's teammate Blake Corum, no surprise he's on there. Also no surprise, Marvin Harrison Jr. is on the list from Ohio State. Four very, very good athletes, four players that are very good at what they do, getting the nod there. And then Olu Fashanu, the offensive lineman from Penn State, getting the final nod for the preseason honors list from the Big Ten. I mentioned this earlier, too, the Big Ten schedule for NBC. This is according to Brett McMurphy from the Action Network, is out, and we potentially know, it's not finalized yet, having not seen the final schedule here, but three straight weeks for the Iowa football team on NBC. If no games are flexed to different networks, this will be the schedule, the NBC Big Ten schedule. Again, according to Brett McMurphy, kicking off September 23rd, Michigan State hosting Maryland at 2:30 Central Time. That'll follow up September 30th with Purdue hosting Illinois under the lights in West Lafayette. Another night game for Purdue, this one, though, in Iowa City. Interesting enough, Brett McMurphy reporting the October 7th game between the Hawkeyes and Boilermakers expected to be under the lights in Iowa City at 6:30. Iowa at Wisconsin the following week at 2:30 kickoff, and the battle for Flood of Rosedale at Kinnick on October 21st, part of a doubleheader. Rivalry doubleheader, that's actually a pretty good weekend. Brett McMurphy reporting October 21st. You've got the battle for Floyd at 2:30 Central between Iowa and Minnesota, and then Michigan and Michigan State from East Lansing at 6:30 that night as well. So NBC's got some fun ones coming up here. But sounds like, at least if Brett McMurphy's reporting is correct, three straight weeks on NBC and all in quasi-prime time, the Purdue-Iowa game, the only true night game there. But as you get further into October, obviously the sun goes down earlier and earlier. Not quite daylight saving time just yet, but certainly will be an interesting atmosphere for that night game. You know, night games at Kinnick work, but that according to Brett McMurphy at the Action Network. Let's get into the I do want to get to the NFL here before we wrap up the show today. But Isaac, you and I were talking about this Minnesota story that just came out from Front Office Sports within the last hour or so. PJ Fleck has long been a guy who's talked about culture and building a culture, and they have a specific culture at Minnesota. With the news coming out of Northwestern, culture has been under the microscope, if you will, over the last several weeks here. But Front Office Sports apparently talking to several former players and staff members at Minnesota about the status of Fleck's program so far. And as I mentioned a little bit into the show, unprompted, according to Front Office Sports, the term cult was used by multiple former players and staff members to describe the culture of Minnesota football. Again, not on the same level, I don't think. I haven't read the full thing. I've kind of looked at some of the highlights here preparing for the show, but I don't think necessarily on the same level as alleged to have happened at Northwestern, but still not necessarily the best look for PJ Fleck.
Yeah, so it's not great. I mean, like, there's just weird things where it's like, the players have to give him an ovation whenever he enters the room, or, you know, there's certain words that they have to say to the coach. Like, in the article, it says, like, they can't say, if he asks how they're doing, they have to say, "I'm elite." They can't say, "I'm good," or anything like that.
I'm okay. No,
yeah,
can't
nothing
do that.
Like that. No. They have to say, "I'm elite." And other players were kind of worried that, you know, it was less about the individual, I don't know how to word this. It was kind of like it was all about the team, or more about like the
collective
collective group than like yourself, sort of thing. Which I guess on its face doesn't sound too bad, but they were kind of like, you know, forget yourself in all situations. Right. Like, don't worry. Like, whatever.
Even if you're hurt.
Need, yeah.
If you're hurt or you're going through something in your personal life or as a player or whatever, that doesn't matter. It's the team. And yes, obviously building a team culture is good, that, you know, you need to work together as a team to win games, to do things right the right way, obviously. But there still needs to be, at least in my humble opinion, like a sense of individuality. Yeah. You as a player should
be able to express yourself freely and feel that you can say what you have to without being policed. Just things like that. And then there's other things that are typical. I know the NCAA's policy is you can't use workouts as punishment. I guarantee Minnesota, that's later on in the article, I guarantee Minnesota is not the only place using workouts as punishment. Right. So that is in there, and that is like a criticism in there, which I guess technically against NCAA policy, but it's not just a Minnesota thing. I know, I guess I don't know for a fact, but come on. They're not the only ones that are doing that.
The article talking about, I'm reading this part here, the former players, they're not identified. There are a couple that did come out in support of P.J. Fleck. Coney Durr, a defensive back, a player you're probably familiar with if you've watched Big Ten football. These former players describing an environment fraught with intimidation and toxicity, and referenced what's called the Fleck Bank, which is a system that allowed players with enough coins, not real coins, but coins in the mind of P.J. Fleck and the coaching staff, to get away with allegedly positive drug tests and other violations of team rules. This quote-unquote bank tracked how much community service you did, including visiting patients at the University of Minnesota Hospital with Fleck himself. So if you went along with P.J. Fleck, you scored some points, which, you know, I mean, okay, like, I'm sure, like, you know, the coaches are going to notice if you're doing more community service. And I think that should be an organic thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. you as a player, like, should be encouraged, right, to give back to your community. You know, as a player, you're a part of this community. We want you to be, you know, a good standing member of wherever you are, whether it's mm-hmm. Iowa City or Minneapolis or Lincoln, Nebraska or Madison, Wisconsin or whatever. But to do that and then not organically get rewarded, basically, in the coach's mind, like, well, he came with me to 6 hospital visits. Now
he can fail a drug test.
He can
test.
Do no wrong,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to follow team rules. Mm-hmm. Like, that just doesn't seem like, again, it's all allegations. Nothing, you know, 100% been proven, but not a good look for P.J. Fleck here as this comes out. Mark Coyle, the athletic director of Minnesota, did defend P.J. Fleck, as you would expect him to. In a statement to Front Office Sports, said, quote, PJ and our program are unique. They put themselves out there in new and different ways, but always in a first-class manner. And after nearly 7 years, it's clear to me this is what makes PJ and our program so successful. He went on to say that he's not heard a single football student from a single football student athlete about these allegations. So allegations have been made. They have not been brought to athletic department, at least according to what Mark Coyle said in that statement. I think you could kind of tie it into the Northwestern thing, maybe, with they're afraid to go forward because they don't want to lose their status on the team. I didn't see that specifically in the writing from Front Office Sports, but you can probably put two and two together. So if you want to read that, Front Office Sports had that. I retweeted that on my X Twitter X timeline. At SW on the radio, if you want to follow along, if you're still active on that site. 2:47, quick 2-minute timeout. We'll do a quick glance at the Chicago Bears and the big questions facing them for 2023. Spoiler alert, I think question number one has to do with, well, not only the quarterback, but the offense in general. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes right here on Spencer on Sports.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Walk to defeat ALS August 20th at Kingston Stadium in Cedar Rapids. It's the number one way to unite and fundraise for those living with ALS. Register today and help the Iowa chapter of the ALS Association provide local family assistance and research to unlock ALS.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank is a true community bank, believing service still comes with a local touch. Since 1924, Fairfax State Savings Bank provides secure, honest, relationship-based banking. They understand the little things that make our community special. Strong personal connections, sincere friendliness, and a sense of pride in local growth. And that's how they've succeeded for nearly a century. Learn more at thebankhere.com. Fairfax State Savings Bank in Fairfax, Amana, and Cedar Rapids. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Whew. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
The football season is always exciting. Coaches getting hired, players getting traded, free agents moving to new cities. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ziprecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
2:49 back here for a few more minutes on a Wednesday. Spencer at Sports with you here at KGYM. 319-366-1600. Gym class is next. Todd Brommelkamp show coming up between 4 and 6. Have a chance to win tickets to see Jeff Dunham at the Iowa State Fair Tuesday, August 15th at 8 o'clock. Another opportunity to win with Todd today sometime between 4 and 6 playing the game Who Said That? More details on how to win coming up today after 4 with Todd. You can also find out more info about the show and all the great entertainment going on at the Iowa State Fair at our website, kgymradio.com. 319-366-1600, Brett Bielema on the stage with the Big Ten Network today. Brett Bielema asked at Media Days earlier today about not only his football team, but the Barbie movie. He's got two daughters, and someone tossed out the question, Brett, have you seen the Barbie movie yet? A fair question to someone who has daughters in their life. He said, I haven't seen it yet. My daughters love Barbie, so I'm assuming we'll see it. You always get those questions at Big Ten Media Day, kind of the off-the-wall type of questions. Brett Bielema, in case you're wondering, has not seen Barbie. I wonder if he's seen Oppenheimer. Good question. Has he seen both? No. Obviously, he has not seen both. The other thing that grinds my gears about Media Day is when reporters start off, and we'll see it more tomorrow when Jim Harbaugh goes, but reporters always stand up and say, hi, coach, go blue. No. No. It was today, Mel Tucker said, go green, and I didn't see it happen live. I was in the middle of doing something else, but apparently someone yelled back, go white, which is the Michigan State chant. Like, no, you're there covering the team. You do not. I don't care if you're an alum. Don't yell out your team's slogan. Don't do it, please. If I was covering UW-Oshkosh on some media day, which why would I do that here in Cedar Rapids? I would not yell out Hail Titans. At least I would imagine. I just saved that for Twitter. Whenever something good happens with UWO. 319-366-1600. I wanted to spend more time on this. I apologize for Bear fans who were eager to hear a Packer fan talk about your favorite team. I know you were. But when it comes down to it, I've been looking at the big questions facing each NFC North team. And for Chicago, Isaac, I think you'd agree with the Bears this year. It's going to be an interesting year to see the Bears offense, especially with Justin Fields. I think there's still plenty of questions, maybe not necessarily him with him as an athlete, but what's this offense going to look like? They needed help on the offensive line. They made some additions there, bringing in DJ Moore. Certainly they're expecting him to be maybe at least part of the answer to what they need on offense. I know Chase Claypool was another guy that they brought in, and they're expecting him to maybe be a little bit better than he was in Pittsburgh. I know there was this kind of back and forth about, is he on the PUP list? Is he not? A few days ago as the Bears started camp. But when it comes down to it, it certainly is going to be interesting to see the Bears offense, I think, number one. And I know they need a lot of help specifically in the pass rush for this 2023 season. Not a lot expected of them. Maybe that's a good spot to be in if you're the Bears. I know I mentioned this at the top of the show, but USA Today had them at, 7-10? I think 7 might be a little too much, at least in my eyes, for Chicago, but I'm sure Bear fans would take that, right? 7 wins after a 3-14 campaign that got them the number one pick. They then traded that. Carolina getting, Bryce Young out of the deal and naming him their starting quarterback today, and the Bears getting DJ Moore out of it here. I think it was decent trade. I think it was the right move to make for Chicago, and it's all about how you put those pieces together and kind of continue to build for the team you want for Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm a Chicago fan, I'm really hopeful for the team, for sure. I love the DJ Moore acquisition. I think he's a fantastic wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Now I think you've got a great 1-2-3 there with, assuming he's healthy, or right, when he gets healthy, as Your number two and then Mooney in the slot is fantastic there. And then you obviously have like some good tight end play there as well.
Bob Tanyan coming in from Green Bay. Yeah, Cole Kmet, they just signed him, I think, to an extension today. So they have, I think, the pieces. They're not fully there yet, you know, just kind of being an independent observer on Chicago from what I've read and what I've heard. But I think they are certainly making strides after kind of tearing it down to the studs. At least on offense, they're kind of trying to make it better and look to the future here.
Yeah, I think they're also one of the teams who, again, we talked about how the NFC North, there's no clear leader. They're a team who it would make sense if everything clicks with Justin Fields this next season, and that means everything goes perfect. They could be a team that, you know, goes from bottom to top, because every year there's a team that goes from the bottom of the division to the top of the division. And the Bears could certainly be one of those teams. Again, they benefit from the NFC North not being fantastic this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I could definitely, again, if Justin Fields makes a big leap as a passer, I could certainly see them being very good in a pretty weak NFC North.
We know the Bears, and we know Justin Fields can certainly run the football. 1,143 rushing yards last year. That ranks as the second most in a single season by a quarterback in NFL history, trailing only Lamar Jackson from 2019. That's the offense. The defense, though, scoring defense last year, 27 points per game allowed, 49% third down completion or conversion against their defense last year, and 8.0 yards per attempt via passing yards attempted against the Bears defense. They need to get a whole heck of a lot better there. Getting Tremaine Edmonds, you know, we'll see how that works out. Getting rid of Roquan Smith, I'm not sure.
It still doesn't make sense to me how you were like, I don't want to pay my middle linebacker, and then you
go out and pay Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah, I don't get it. What are you doing? Whatever, I guess.
The Bears opening up with Green Bay. We'll see Jordan Love's first game, see if the ownership, I guess, can transfers from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love in week one. That'll be at Soldier Field on September 10th. Then up against, I was about to say, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers on September 17th. It's like Kyle Trask or Baker Mayfield now on the 17th. And then at Kansas City. Big one against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs on the 24th. Denver, Washington, and Minnesota all within the first 6 weeks of the NFL season for Chicago. Preseason opener, August 12th against the Tennessee Titans for Bear fans looking for their early fix. They bookend the season with the Packers. Open the year with Green Bay, end the year January 7th against the Green Bay Packers. So, going to be interesting, I think, for the entire NFC North. I'm not making my full prediction yet, but I think I've alluded to I'm leaning towards the Vikings, so I'll make that pick before the season coming up here in just a few weeks. That will wrap up the show here for today. If you missed any of those quick looks at the NFC North, you can certainly check out the podcast at kgymradio.com. Look for the Spencer on Sports podcast. Check them all out there, and I'll listen back to what we had to say about the Vikings, Lions, Packers, and today the Chicago Bears. Today is my Friday. I'm off the rest of the week, so you get, I guess, 3 hours of Todd Brommelkamp tomorrow and Friday. I will return on Monday. Isaac, you got to hold down the fort in here. Thumbs up from Isaac. See if the studio is still standing when I return Monday. But I'll be back Monday. Todd's in tomorrow for me, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Talk to you on the final day of July on Monday. Crazy to think that July is almost over. And we'll get you up to speed with all the latest from the sports world. 2:57, that'll wrap up the show. Enjoy the rest of your week. Gym Class and the Todd Brommelkamp Show are next here on KGYM.